be out of town, and then according to the plan that I have right now, I'm going to be going to Eretz Yisrael on Sunday night for a week. I won't be here for a week, but I'll try to give shiur by video conferencing, and then I'll be back on Monday morning the week after, I hope. Okay.
So Monday this year? You're only landing yet?
Yeah. I'm arriving Monday morning, yeah.
You're arriving?
Monday morning.
By us? No, it'll be Monday morning.
No, Monday. This Monday is the shiur.
This Monday I won't be able to give shiur. No, Monday I won't be able to give shiur. Okay. Tuesday through Thursday I'll try to give shiur. Monday I'll be on the plane.
Following Sunday not also.
Probably also not.
Thursday there's right. Yeshiva.
Oh. Thanksgiving. Okay. Maybe there's no yeshiva. I'll try to find out. Okay. The beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, Yaakov Avinu is coming back to Eretz Yisrael. He's afraid he's going to get into a war with Esav, so he sends him messengers, and he sends him a major matana to be mefayis him. The Ramban in his commentary on Chumash quotes from the Medrash Rabbah that when the Tanoim had to deal with the Roman government, so they always used to learn through Parshas Vayishlach to gain some insight how they're supposed to approach the Romans. It's hard to know. The Medrash condemns Yankov. Medrash says, who told him to? He should have just ignored Esav. Should have ignored Esav. That's one version of the Medrash. And then the other Medrash, Rashi quotes the Medrash, no, that he did the right thing. He prepared himself. The Doron for the Tfilo or the Muhammad. You have to prepare yourself. You shouldn't start right away with Muhammad. You have to first start with Doron and Tfilo. Then, as a last resort, you have to rely on Muhammad. It's interesting the way the Psukim relate the way Yaakov Avinu gave the instructions to the messengers. It's Avos Arishim, Es Hasheni, Es Hashlishi, Leimar. A lot of times in our generation, there's a lack of communication. They just had in the newspaper some Meshuggah guy was in a hospital in Eretz Yisrael. Happens all over the world. Happens every day of the year. And they released him from the hospital, but they didn't notify all the other officers how crazy he was. So the government gave him his three children, and he killed the three children. There was simply a lack of communication. There's always a lack of communication between one office and the other. Here in Yeshiva, there's always a lack of communication between one office and the other. The whole world is like that. So it's interesting the way Yaakov Avinu keeps on repeating. It's Avos Arishim, Es Hasheni, Es Hashlishi. Make sure you say this, and make sure you say that. He wants to make sure that they give the correct message. And he gives them word for word what they should say. Make sure you say this, make sure you say that. That's what the successful businessmen do like that. They make sure that they don't let the workers take anything for granted. They treat everybody as if they're stupid. Maybe they are stupid. And they spell everything out explicitly. You have to give explicit instructions. Yaakov Avinu sends a message to Esav in Lovan Garti. So Rashi quotes a Medrash. Rashi made the Medrash famous. Lovan Garti, the Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti. The word Garti is the same letters as Taryag. What is Esav interested in knowing whether Yankov kept the mitzvahs or not? So the Rishonim explain why. Because when Yitzchok gave the bracha to Esav, at the end of the day, he did give a bracha to Esav. So he said, Hen gvir samti v'liechov, I gave the bracha to Yaakov, and he will boss over you. However, hoya kashen torid, v'farak du'ulo me'al tzavarecho. True, v'rav yavod soir, that Yankov will be the Odon and Esav will be the Eved, so to speak. But when Yankov will stop keeping mitzvahs, then you will be free. Then you won't be kofef to him. So Yankov comes back to Eretz Yisrael and says, I want you to know that has not yet happened. Taryag mitzvah shamart, even though I was away for 20 years, and you were keeping Kibbutz Av HaNeim, and I was not, I was away for 20 years, I was still keeping all the mitzvahs. Adayin lo higia hazman. what is the diuk of the Gemara from the Medrash, from the letters? Garti is the same letters as Taryag. That's the way we usually assume. Soloveitchik thought that it's not so much from the letters Taryag. The Ramban writes in the Hagdomah to his commentary on the Sefer Mitzvahs LaHarambam, he's not so convinced that everybody agrees that there are Taryag mitzvahs. There are Machlekes HaTanoim and Soita Dav Gimel Amin Aleph. There's Machlekes Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel about Bikinei Asishta, whether it's a mitzvah or it's a reshus. About the Lo Yitama, whether it's a mitzvah reshus, the Olam HaTavoda, whether it's a mitzvah reshus, the Tesis theory as the Kasha. If one of these is not a mitzvah, so then one of the Tanoim doesn't have 613 mitzvahs, so the other Tanoim has 616 mitzvahs. It has more or less, what's going on? So Tesis assumes that everybody subscribes to the Klal of Taryag mitzvahs, and they say, Mistame, if Rabbi Shmuel deletes these three mitzvahs, he probably has another three mitzvahs that Rabbi Kiva will probably delete for some reason or another. And that's how you find in the Sefer Mitzvahs LaHarambam. The Ramban deletes a bunch of mitzvahs esse of the Rambam and a group of mitzvahs lois esse, and after deleting those, he has to replace them with another 17 mitzvahs esse, another 17, 18 mitzvahs lois esse. But the Ramban and the Ramban finally assumes like that, but in the beginning of the Hakdomah to the Sefer Mitzvahs, he wonders, is it really muskam l'chol ha'deis? Is this the universal opinion that there's 613 mitzvahs? Maybe not everybody subscribes to that idea.
Doesn't Rabbi Shmuel have another three mitzvahs by tzitzis to make up for those?
That's what one of the Gedolim suggested, that the three mitzvahs that Rabbi Shmuel replaces are by tzitzis, because the Mishnah, in one shot, they got three mitzvahs. The Yad David has like that. David's inside. So he suggests that the Mishnah has a menachas, perikat chelas machlekes atanim, whether the dalet tzitzis in the four corners constitute one mitzvah or four mitzvahs. Rabbi Shmuel holds that they're four mitzvahs. So there you have it. He just added out another three mitzvahs, bevasachas. Those are the three mitzvahs. So the Ksav Sofer quotes that in the Hagdom, I think, to his Shabbos at Shubas Arachayim. So he thinks that it's not correct. He thinks, let's say you have the machlekes atanim, whether the dalet tzitzis are dalet mitzvahs or mitzvah achas, is a machlekes whether ma'akvim zeh. Let's say if a person will go with a beged shel arba kamos, only have tzitzis in one corner, two corners, or three corners, does he have a mitzvah or is it worthless? He hasn't fulfilled anything. So that's a machlekes. Rabbi Shmuel holds that they're not ma'akvim zeh, that arba osa and arba mitzvahs. So the Ksav Sofer says it does mean it counts as four different mitzvahs: the northeastern corner, the southeastern corner, the northwestern corner, the southwestern corner. It's like a person has a home and he has 20 rooms and he needs 20 mezuzahs. So you would count it in the Sefer Mitzvahs as 20 mitzvahs. It's a mitzvah to put a mezuzah in every room that needs a mezuzah. So here the Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel and the other Tanoim is this like 20 rooms in a house? You have to fulfill the mitzvah mezuzah 20 times. You have to fulfill the mitzvah tzitzis 4 times on any one beged. Or is it arbos and mitzvah as makvim zezeh? But not the Rabbi Shmuel holds. There's one mitzvah to put a tzitzah on the northeastern corner of the beged. One mitzvah to put a tzitzah on the southeastern corner. He says you're repeating the same mitzvah 4 times. They're not me'akvim zeh. That's the Ksav Sofer's taina. He doesn't like it. He says the harifus of the Yad David is not correct. That's what he taines. That's what people like to say over that word from the Yad David. That Rabbi Shmuel in the Mishnah in Perek HaTcheles solves the problem. He has bevasachas. He adds on three mitzvahs. Rav Soloveitchik thought that it wasn't so much from the letters Garti being identical with Taryag. Maybe there are other Tanoim who deny this number of Taryag, but rather from the verb. He lived in Choron for 20 years, and he says Garti. Garti means you stay there for a month. You're an Achsenoi, you're a guest. You live in a place for 20 years, and you marry 4 wives, and you have 12 children. And he's making about. He's a multimillionaire, and he says he just happens to be passing through. So the answer is no, he didn't assimilate. He didn't pick up from the Goyish ways of Lavan. I maintain my Yiddishkeit. That's what he means. From the fact that he chose that verb, Garti, he didn't say, Im Lavan Yoshafti, Panis Yashafti. Garti means he was only living there temporarily. That's perhaps, Rav Soloveitchik thought, that's perhaps the meaning of the opening pasuk in Chumash Mos. What do you mean? The Chumash is dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu After Yetzias Mitzrayim is all over already. So why does it say Haboim and Ahova, Loshon Hova, as if they're coming down to Mitzrayim now? This is Amaisa from the end of the Haboim Shana on the Midbay after the 210 years of Mitzrayim. So it still says Haboim Mitzrayim, they're coming to Mitzrayim. Galzayichik thought that maybe what it means is Baloshon Hova, that they never really blended in with the society. They always... They were always separate from the goyim. They picked up avodah zarah. They did a lot of averus there. That's how the Medrash says when the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to do the Kriyas Yamsuf, so the angels were complaining, why should we do Kriyas Yamsuf and drown the Mitzrayim and let the Jewish people survive? Halalu abde avodah zarah, halalu abde avodah zarah. But still, they were separate. They fulfilled the nationalistic mitzvahs. That's how the Medrash says they were zeichet to Yitzias Mitzrayim al shaloshin u'shmam l'shaynim amalbusham. They spoke Yivrit and they dressed like Jews. The nationalistic mitzvahs, when you live in Golus, the nationalistic mitzvahs are very important to maintain your identity, that you shouldn't assimilate with the goyim. So maybe that's why it says there haboy Mitzrayim, that all the time they were in Egypt there was baloshen hayv, as if that they just came off the boat and they still were wearing their long kapotas. They dressed like Bnei Yisrael, they dressed like Jews, they didn't dress like Nocher. They had just come off the boat. So maybe that's what it means over here also. Garti is Miloshin, temporarily living there. That's why he says he was only there temporarily, that he didn't pick up the style of living of Lavan. So Yaakov Avinu sends this matana to his brother to try to be moitzi chayim by him. The Prima Godim has a sefer on Chumash that's called Tevas Goyma. Every so often the Pizchei Tshuva and Shulchan Aruch will quote something Haloch Lamaisef, and the Tevas Goyma quotes a lot from the Prima Godim, but he'll quote every so often from the sefer on Chumash because he talks about halacha topics. So here on this pasuk, he raises a question: how can a Jew in Chutz Lord stay with a straight face? That he kept all the Taryag mitzvahs. There's so many mitzvahs that can only be observed in Eretz Yisrael. Trumas and Maisa, Shemitah, V'yoyva, Lekid, Shikha, Pei, Abdeis, HaMikdosh. The overwhelming majority of the mitzvahs no longer apply to Zman Hazeh, because we don't have a Beis HaMikdosh, and we live in Golus. So how can he say he fulfilled all the Taryag mitzvahs? So the Prima Godim writes an interesting chiddush, that the Gemara says, one who learns the laws of Korban Oilus is considered as if he brought a Korban Oilus. One who learns the laws of Korban Shlomim is considered as if he brought a Korban Shlomim. So the Prima Godim writes that it's lav davka minigei to Korbanos, that applies with respect to all mitzvahs. One who learns the laws of Trumas HaMaisa, Shemitah V'yeva, Lekter Shikra Peya, is considered as if any mitzvah that you can't fulfill, a mitzvah that you can't fulfill, put on tefillin today. So if you can put on tefillin, you're not yotze by learning the dinim of Hilchas Tefillin. But if you don't have the ability to put on tefillin, so one who learns Hilchas Tefillin is malal akasav kila, he fulfilled the mitzvah of tefillin. That's how the Prima Godim says. The Mabit, who was a contemporary of the Beis Yosef, in Sfat, he was in the Bezen of the Beis Yosef. He was a Bar Plukta of the Beis Yosef, but he lived at the same time. Mabit wrote a sefer on Hashkofa that's called Beis Elokim. It's quoted a lot. He has a lot of famous ideas. So he also writes like that, that any mitzvah that you're unable to observe, you should learn the dinim and consider kilo you fulfill that mitzvah. The Chafetz Chaim wrote whole kuntras on the significance of learning kachim. Chavetz Chaim printed a sefer that's called Asifa Zikainim. The Shita Mukubetzes on Bava Kama, Bava Nsir, Bava Basra, and Ksubis is officially called Asifa Zikainim because it's a likut of Rishainim. So the Chavetz Chaim published the sefer Asifa Zikainim on kachim because he was encouraging everyone to learn kachim. He was hoping that the Beis HaMikdash will soon be built. Maybe he was a kohen. Maybe he'll have an opportunity to be makir kabbonis in the Beis Hamikdash. So he was encouraging everyone to learn Seder Kachin, to be prepared for that eventuality when the Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt. So he published a collection of Sivas Kain, a collection of the Achreinim. On Seder Kachin, he published the Birchas Hazevach and the Chayk Nosan and the others, a few Achreinim on Seder Kachin. And he published the Hakdome, where he encourages everyone to learn Kachin. So he quotes from the Rishonim that they don't say like that. The Rishonim say that this din, Kalaloi made Hilchas Oilo, Kilo Hikariv Oilo, is only with respect to Akrobus Karbonus. And then others point out there's a Medrash that says with respect to Binyan Beis HaMikdash. there's a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash, and one who learns the dinim of Binyan Beis HaMikdash is also, Binyan Beis HaMikdash has to do with karbonis. In the area of Kotchim, we say like that. In other areas, you don't say like that. And the Chafetz Chaim quotes from Rashi and the Smag, who say like the Rashi and Bava Metzia, that the Talmud Bavli was only composed on Brochus and on Moed, Noshim and Ezekin, because that's halacha lamaisa. Zroim was not halacha lamaisa in Chutz Loretz, and Taris was not halacha lamaisa. But Kotchim was halacha lamaisa, because whoever learns Hilchos Karbonis is considered Kilo Hikr of Karbonis. That's what Rashi in the Smag write. So you see that they're of the opinion that it only applies to Karbonis. Otherwise, they should have written Talmud Bavli on Zroim also. If you say Kol Aloimit Parshas Truma Kilu Kiya Mitzos Truma. So this interesting that the Prima Gadim over here on this pasuk Lovan Garti assumes like the Mabit, which the Chafetz Chaim points out is not in accordance with most of the Rishonim. The pasuk says that Yankif arranged the Shvachas when first Leah b'Yoladeho Acharonim Esrachel b'Yoladeho Acharonim, when they approached Esav. Dosi Zontif points out in one place that Achacham asked them, how do we always pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and we should bring Karbanos, if the Nevi'im said when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, Godli Yekvod HaBayis HaZeh HaAcharon Min HaRishon, they referred to the second Beis HaMikdash as the Acharon, the last Beis HaMikdash, and that's it, so there won't be any third Beis HaMikdash. So what are we praying all the time? The Rabban Shalom should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash if the second Beis HaMikdash was the Acharon. So the Tosfos Yontif responded that the word Acharon in Biblical Hebrew doesn't always mean last, it means latter. And the word Rishon doesn't always mean first, sometimes it means prior. Like, Ach B'Yom Rishon Tashbisa Sormi Patechem. So it does mean that on the first day of Pesach you destroy the Chametz. And Erev Pesach, the word Rishon means prior to Pesach. See here also, he quotes two psukim in Chumash. So one is this pasuk: Leah v'yoladeha achronim, v'srachel v'yoladeha achronim. If Leah v'yoladeha achronim, if they were the last one, so what's Rachel coming last? So you see, achronim just means afterwards. So Godli yekvod abayis azeh achronim in Arishon does mean that the second Beis HaMikdash is the last, the final Beis HaMikdash. Means this is the next Beis HaMikdash is the second, and there'll be another Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Nevi'im told us. There'll be a third Beis HaMikdash. The pasuk says when Yaakov Avinu was schlepping all the packages, Vayivasa Yaakov Liv Vado. So the Gemara in Gidanasha, the Parsha has the din of Gidanasha. So the Gemara in Perek Gidanasha discusses different aspects of the Parsha. So the Gemara says that he had to go back again for the Pachm Ktanim. He had taken all the heavy luggage, and then he went back again another time to schlep the little junky things that he had. What did he have to schlep so much for? Why didn't he just leave it behind? What did he take everything for? Because tzaddikim chaviv aleim amayim yosem igufam, even though it's going to be a big tircha, it's going to be a strain on him to carry all these things, but they cherish very much all of their property, all of their possessions, even if it's insignificant in value. And why should that be so? It doesn't make sense. Why is Chaviv Aleim Mamayim Yosem Igufam? So the Gemara says, because they're not Nenim in Agezel. Because all of the assets that they have, they're entitled to legally. If a person cheats in business, so easy come, easy go. So he stole the money from someone else. He got the money illegally, so it doesn't bother him so much if he loses the money. But Yankov Avinu was known for his honesty. And all of the assets, all the money that he had were absolutely, he was entitled to, he had the legal right to it. So that's why he was makpid. He wanted to take every little piece of furniture and every little piece of pachim ktanim, whatever he had, he wanted to continue his ownership on that. So the pasuk says that, pasuk is unclear, but the haftarah says that a malach was fighting with Yaakov Avinu. Chumash, it's a little unclear. The Malach was fighting with Yankov Avinu, then it's unclear who wins the fight. So the pasuk says in Navi in the Haftarah that Yankov won the fight. He was limping in the morning, but the maskan is that he won the fight. What is this supposed to represent? So the Radak writes, this is supposed to represent, the Radak has commentary on Chumash, has a lot of interesting insights. So he says the Malachim represent Teva, and the fight with Yankov Avin and the Malach represents the fact that Bnei Yisrael are lamayla mina Teva. The Jewish people should have been killed a long time ago. There was so much oppression, there was so many pogroms. And we went into Gola so many times, and we were the minority. We should have assimilated, we should have disappeared. And nonetheless, the Jewish people are lamayla mina Teva, we still continue to exist. So that's what's represented by this fight with the Malach, that Yankov Avinu wins the fight. And the pasuk says, Al kein liyochem bnei Yisrael is gid anosha. So the Rishonim had two interpretations. What does it mean, Al kein? Therefore, in order to remember this lesson, what lesson? So some of the Rishonim say to remember that Klal Yisrael ala malam and ateva, that when the Jewish people fight with Teva, the Jewish people win. We'll beat Tzalei al Yerecho. We'll lose a lot of people, lose a lot of lives in all of the... In the Second World War, they killed so many Jews and all the pogroms and so on. But still, the Jewish people survived and thrived after the war. Another Rishonim interpret, Ken Leoch Bnei Yisrael's Gidon Noshe means as a kapora for having been mezalzel the Kibbut Aviyeh. Yaakov Avinu is an old man; he's in his 80s, and he has children who are much younger than him. The children should have helped him carry all the packages. So the children decided they're not going to schlep. Maybe they helped him carry the heavy luggage, and then the pachin ktanim, they didn't want to schlep. So he was a Yaakov Levada all by himself. So the guy starts to fight with him. If the children would have been helping him, this mysterious mugger would not have started up with him. So the Bnei Yisrael, the children of Yaakov Avinu, accepted as a kapara for themselves, never to eat gidon osha, to remember that they should always be mekayim kibbut aviyeh. The Gemara says that everybody's mezalzel on the kibbut aviyeh, and it's not right. Abai was a yosem, his father died before he was born, mother died at childbirth, and he says how fortunate he was that he never violated Kibbut Aviyeh. He never had the mitzvah. He never had the mitzvah to fulfill Kibbut Aviyeh. It's a difficult mitzvah, and most people do not fulfill it, do not observe it properly. The Gemara says about Gira Noshe, that the Shuman Agir is Mutaman Atayra, Yisrael Kedoshim Nogabo Isser. The Jewish people have accepted upon themselves that we don't need even the Shuman Agir, the fat on top of the Gid Anasha. Not only the Gid Anasha is also Man Atayra, the Shuman Agir we also don't eat. So there is a Rambam in Hilchas Korban Pesach. The Rambam writes when you bring a Korban Pesach, he's supposed to broil it Rosh Al Karab Al Kirboy. Supposed to boil the Korban Pesach all together, all intact. So the Rambam says, well, the chelev you have to remove. The chelev you have to burn on the Mizbeach. And then the chutei dam you have to remove. If you'll broil the Korban Pesach with the chutei dam, with the big blood vessels, so the blood will be nivla into the Korban Pesach. So you have to remove the chutei dam, chutei chelev. But everything else, the Rambam says, you broil everything the way it is. And after you broil it, then you cut out the Gidon Asher and make sure that you don't eat the Gidon Asher. So the Ravid writes in his Asagas on the Rambam, if I would be there in the Beis HaMikdash and this character would bring his Korban Pesach, he would boil it like that, I would throw it on the floor and I would tell him he's not allowed to eat it. He broiled the Korban Pesach, but the Gidon Asher makes everything treif. Of course, you have to remove the Gidon Asher in advance. That's the Ravid's Hasog on the Rambam. So the Kesem Mishnah comes to defend the Rambam all the time. So he says, there is a machlekes satanoim. We pass an aloch la'maisa that ain't begidden b'nai sintam. That if you cook a gid anosha with basar heter, the tam of the gid anosha does not affect the basar. It doesn't have enough tam to apply the din of tam kiikar. So if the din would have been that it would make treif the flesh, of course you would have to cut out the gid anosha before you broil the korban pesach. But since ain't begidden b'nai sintam, the gid doesn't asa the basar. So more correct is to broil the Korban Pesach Bishlei Musa, Rosh Al Krov Al Kirbay. You don't slice it up in advance of the broiling, you slice it after you broil it, and you remove the Gidon Nasha later. But then the question is, what? That's good as far as the Gidon Nasha. What about the Shuman Agid? The Shuman Agid, Yesh Begid, the Shuman Agid is regular Shmaltz. That will Aser. So Tosis has two opinions there in Chulin. One opinion is that since Shuman Agid is Exer de Rabbanon, Otu Gid, and Gid doesn't Aser, so Shuman Agid, even though gives a Tam, doesn't Aser either. But we don't accept that opinion. In Shulchan Aruch, you're there, we Paskin, Shuman Agid does Aser. Shuman Agid does Aser. I remember once the OU was supposed to give a Hechsher on a dinner somewhere in Washington, D.C., I think. And the caterer was supposed to cater the same day a Boy Scout and a National Boy Scout dinner. That was going to be a tray for dinner. And then they had a kashu, all the kelim, in between the Boy Scout dinner and the kosher dinner that night. It was going to be impossible. So they suggested maybe the Boy Scouts will buy kosher flesh. They won't die. Maybe they buy kosher flesh. So they say everything will be kosher. It'll cost a little more. Kosher meat costs a little more than non-kosher meat. So everything was okay, except they didn't want to remove the Gid Anasha, but the Shumar Agid. They were so insistent. So we Paskin, even though the Gid Anasha doesn't Asa, the Shumar Agid does Asa. So the suggestion didn't work. The idea didn't work. They didn't want to serve, I don't know what it looks like. What does a steak look like that has the Gid Anasha? I never saw it. It looks so much better than, that's the Mishnah in Chulin, the Gemara in Psochem. We just learned the Gemara this day. The Gemara proves the Gid Anasha is Muntabana because the Mishnah says Shalech Adam Yerech LeNachri the Gid Anasha B'Tocho. You can give as a matana to the Nachri a steak with the Gid Anasha, and the Goy gets more Hanoah from the fact that it's the whole steak is intact with the Gid Anasha. He's not going to eat the Gid Anasha. It tastes like Eitz B'Alma. He's not going to eat the Gid Anasha, but he has Hanoah from the fact that the whole steak is B'Shleimuso. It looks better. It looks healthier. I never saw it. We always see kosher steaks. We never see a steak with the Gid Anasha. But apparently there's a kfeida that the goyim want bedavke. The steak should have the Gid Anasha in it. So that's the kasha that the Kesem Mishnah has to faremfer. The Rambam is nicha as far as the Gid Anasha is concerned. Does make treif the Korban Pesach. But the Shuman Agid will make treif. So how can you broil the Korban Pesach intact? The Shuman Agid is going to make treif. So the Kesem Mishnah writes in Teretz that the Loshon HaGemara is the Shuman min HaTorah, only the Gid is also the Shuman HaGid is Mutter. Yisrael Kidoshim Noag Bo Isser. So the Kesem Mishnah says he thinks that what it means is it's only a Minig. It's not even an Issa Midirabbanan. So since it's only a Minig, so when the Minig comes in conflict with a Din, so the Din has to win out. So here there's a Din. Rosh Al Karov Al Kirba, you have to broil the Korban Pesach intact. If the Din would have been that Shuman Agid is a real Issa de Rabbanon, so you have no choice. So you can't broil the Korban Pesach with the Shuman Agid and make everything treif. But since Shuman Agid is only a Minig, and the Minig here comes in conflict with the real Din, they have to broil the Korban Pesach intact. So on Leil Pesach in Yerushalayim, all the Jews have to violate that Minig. They have to eat the Korban Pesach with the flavor of the Shuman Agid. All year long, they're careful not only not to eat the Shuman Agid, not even to eat the Tam of Shuman Agid. And on Pesach night, everybody's going to eat the Tam of the Shuman Agid. Probably do remove it. But when you eat the Basar, when you eat the rest of the Basar, so then the Basar is going to have the Tam of the Shuman Agid, so you have no choice.
Could they have made an Isser of the Rabbanan that would apply to the Korban Pesach?
They could have made an Isser. Yesh Koch B'Yachachomim. They can tell you to not to eat Korban Pesach. Yeah.
I mean, but then they would have had to. I mean, could they have done it without a bavush from the Korban Pesach altogether? But said don't, but take it out before.
Yeah. It's not miyakev that he even. Let's say you sliced up the Korban Pesach into slices of steaks and then you broil it. So but he even you yotze. The mitzvah v'shleimus says to broil the Korban Pesach when it's all intact. If you would have cut out the shuman agid, you would be yotze the mitzvah. But he even. Okay, a different answer. But this is what the Kesem Mishnah says. Kesem Mishnah says because Shuman Agid is only a minig. The Pre-Begadim quotes that halacha lemaisa. He thinks that there's room to be made on Shuman Agid based on the Kesem Mishnah's suggestion that the Loshon HaGemara indicates that it's not even an Issa de Rabbanon, it's only a minig. We certainly do.
We eat that part of it.
Yeah, you're not allowed to eat the Gid Anasha, you cut it out.
I think
for sure.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't
we eat that part of basin?
Yeah, the legs. Sure. The Gid Anasha is in the legs. The Mishnah in Perek Gid Anasha presents a machlokes hatanaim. Tosis quoted it in our Perek Himsochim, where the Gid Anasha was noyig before Matan Torah or only after Matan Torah. So Tosis and the Rambam have a machlokes. What is the machlokes hatanaim? Tosis understands. The machlekes kipshuto. The Tosis Himsochma understood kipshuto. The pasuk says, "Al kein leoch bnei Yisrael is gid anasha." Whether the word bnei Yisrael means the children of Yaakov Avinu don't eat gid anasha, that the mitzvah began immediately right then and it continued ad hayom hazeh, or should we assume that the term bnei Yisrael means bnei Yisrael left the Maimon HaSinai? The Kodim Matan Torah, the mitzvah didn't exist yet. The mitzvah was only given after Matan Torah. So why is it written here in Parshas Vayishlach? We should know what the historical background is of this mitzvah. So that's how Tosis learns. There was a Machlokes HaTanaim. When did the mitzvah Gid Anasha begin? Taken from Yad by the children of Yaakov Avinu or only after Matan Torah? The Rambam does not understand like Tosis, because the Rambam quotes the Medrash Rabbah that each one of the Ovis was given an additional mitzvah. Avram Avinu was given the mitzvah of Milon. Yitzchak Avinu was given the opportunity to be Mafresh Maisers. And Yaakov Avinu was given the mitzvah of Gid Anasha. So the Rambam assumes everybody agrees to that. That was each one of the Ovis had to get an added mitzvah. Otherwise, what did the Rebbe Shlomo make another Krisis Bris with each one of the Ovis for? Must be that each one had a deeper degree of Kedusha, a deeper sense of Kedusha Yisrael based on an additional mitzvah. So the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis on the end of Perek Gid Anasha explains what is the machlekes hatanaim. It's a different machlekes. We today still observe the mitzvah of Gid Anasha. Is this because Yaakov Avinu was given the mitzvah and that's binding the Doris? Or should we assume no? The mitzvahs had to be repeated by Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai. The only mitzvahs that are binding the Doris are those that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's how the Gemara sounds like it says on the first daf in Megillah. Ela mitzvahs shatziv Hashem biyad Moshe, ein novi shalach adish dova miyata. The only novi who was given dinim that are noyig l'doris is Moshe Rabbeinu. No other novi after Moshe Rabbeinu, no novi before Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what it means. Moshe Rabbeinu is adon hanavim. He's the only one who was given dinim that apply the doris, and that's what the Rambam holds. Also b'negiat the mitzvah smila, he says mitzvah smila was clearly given to Avram Avinu. We today no longer observe it because it was given to Avram Avinu. We observe Mila because it was repeated by Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai. Whatever Avram Avinu was given, whatever Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov were given, could only be Ohayroa Shor. It cannot be that it's Noeg L'Doros. That's how the Rambam interpreted this Machlokes HaTanaim. There was a historical figure in the 1600s who was known as Shabtai Tzvi. He claimed to be the Moshiach. And his people ate Gid Anasha to demonstrate that Mashiach has come. What's the connection between Mashiach and Gid Anasha? So, we usually assume that that mitzvahs are binding l'doris. That's exactly the difference between a hayrashah and a nevuah. A nevuah is a hayrashah. And a mitzvah means something that's not l'doris. The other nevi'im, other than Moshe Rabbeinu, were only given hayrashah. Moshe Rabbeinu was given a din l'doris. So we assume that Gid Anasha is binding l'doris. The Olam for it. And some say otherwise. It says, Al kein lech menei says, Gid Anasha, ada yayim hazeh. What does it mean, ada yayim hazeh? Till today. So some interpreter, Rav Shlomo Levilna, goes along with this. He thinks that ada yayim hazeh means, kol zman that the world is still the way it is now, that we have still Amalek in the world. It says, Vayayovik ish imo, Vayayovik, what does the word avok mean? So Vayayovik either means wrestling, or Vayayovik is Miloshen avok, that there was dust. So the Medrash has an expression, Helu avok arashamayim. When they were fighting, so there's so much dust, they made such a dust cloud, so the dust went all the way up to the heavens. So this is, the Medrash is assuming that this represents Amalek was a descendant of Esav, and the angel is fighting with Yaakov Avinu, traditionally is assumed to be, that's how the Medrash says, Sora Shel Esav. So it calls man that Amalek is here in the world. Amalek represents evil in the world, the problem of evil. And it's the problem of evil is Helu Ova Karashamayim. The problem of evil that you have Tzadik V'ra'lo, Rosh V'tov Lo, gives you the impression as if the Rabbanu Shalom is not a kol yachol, as if the Rabbanu Shalom is not in full control of everything that's happening in the world. Because if God exists and God is good and God knows what's happening in the world, He has control of everything. So how does He allow all these terrible things to happen? How does He allow Tzadik V'Ra'ala Rosh V'Tov? So there are all kinds of good terutzim you can give, but they're all not true. You say there's more than one God. There's one God who runs the world, and there's one that gives the moral and ethical principle. We believe in one God. We believe that God does know what's happening. We believe that God does have the power to control it. We believe that God is a good God. He's not a mean God. So if based on all the Yikori Hamuna that we believe in, so we're left with the kasha. How can it be? Tzadik V'Ra'ala Rosh V'Tovlo. So that's what the Gemara has, that's why Rashi and Chumash quotes a Loshen. Kiyor al keist ko, melchom al Hashem ba'amolek midor dor, at the end of Parshas Bishalach, why does it say keist ko? Because ein Hashem shalom, ein hakisi shalom, atchim moch azar v'shal amolek. Kol zman amolek is here in the world, kol zman that it looks as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is not in full control of the world, kol zman you have the problem of evil. So it looks as if the kisi Hashem is incomplete, as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is not in full control. So that's what some assume, that when Mashiach will come and the problem of evil will be resolved, everyone will see that Kol Ma Da'avi Rachmana, now we believe Kol Ma Da'avi Rachmana L'Tavavi, but then we'll see that it's so. The Gemara says, Bo'elam Azeh, we sometimes say a Baruch HaTayva Meitiv, we sometimes say a Baruch HaBaruch Dayinu Emes. And after Yimos HaMashiach, we'll never say Dayinu Emes, we'll always say HaTayva Meitiv. Not only will it be that we believe that Kol Ma Da'avi Rachmana L'Tavavi, the perception will be that everything is L'Tavavi. So after Mashiach comes, there won't be any problem of evil. And Hashem Shalom, V'akisei Shalom. So then you're allowed to eat Gidon Hashem. That's how Rav Shlomo Levilner assumes. That's what they were assuming also, based on the passage in the Zohar. That's how they read the Zohar. That as Mashiach V'etkumen, so the problem of evil will be resolved. So then it'll be mutter to eat Gidon Hashem. Gidon Hashem is only osur kol zman that you have a molek boilem. So that's why Shabtai Tzvi proclaimed himself as the Melech HaMashiach. So his followers ate Gidon Hashem to demonstrate that they subscribe to the fact that Mashiach is here already. Those who believe that the Lubavitcher Rebbe is Mashiach don't eat Gidon Hashem. I don't think so, no. They don't eat Gidon Hashem, even though they think he's Mashiach. This is the whole assumption is highly questionable. What do you mean? So why is Gidon Hashem included in the Minyan HaMitzvahs if there's an obligation that won't exist Limos HaMashiach? So the Pashtus is that it's not a bona fide mitzvah. Shouldn't be considered one of the mitzvahs. Then it's only a Hayru Ashur. And that's what it means. Arayam Hazeh means only calls man that we have the problem of evil, only calls man we have a Malik Boilam. So the whole assumption is... So lay al yerechai. The whole assumption is ashvach emaisa. The Medrash points out that from all of the children of Yaakov Avinu, only Binyamin didn't bow down to Esav because Binyamin wasn't born yet. He was born later. So the Medrash has a suggestion, maybe that's why the Shekhinah was Bechelka Shal Binyamin. Yerushalayim was divided half Bechelka Shal Yehuda, half Bechelka Shal Binyamin, and the Mizbeach had to be built after Bechelka Shal Torif, Binyamin Zev Yitrov. So the Medrash gives two suggestions why. One suggestion, because Binyamin was the only one of the Shvatim who was born in Eretz Yisrael. The others were born in Chutzal Eretz. And the other suggestion in the Medrash is because Binyamin was the only one who didn't bow down to Esau. Could be that these two are connected. The Jew who lives in Golus has to bow down to Esav all the time. We have to be, we have to show respect to the Goyish government all the time, even when they're killing us. We have to be kafuf to them. And the Jew who lives in Eretz Yisrael has to have an independent government, and he has to act like an independent government. The Israeli government cannot act like the Jews act in a chutz lord. You have to have a different hanhaga. Like all the other nations, United Nations act like independent nations. So Medina Yisrael has to act independently also. Can't act like the Jews acted for the last 2,000 years in Golus. So it could be that the fact that Binyamin was born in Eretz Yisrael is Heine Taimer, that he didn't, it's Toli Zebizet. That's why he didn't bow down. He wasn't born yet, that's why he didn't bow down. But it could be that the two are connected together. Some are upset why the Israeli government sometimes acts with chutzpah. with pride. Why should they act like pride Jews? The Jews for 2,000 years of living in Golos didn't act with such pride. The Tanakh refers to Eretz Yisrael as Gaon Yankiv, the pride of the Jewish people. The Jewish people have to be proud that they have an independent Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. And there is what to talk about. The Pasuk says, "B'mistarm tivken nafshe mipnei gevo." The Gemara in the beginning of Chagiga talks about the fact that the Psukim and Tanakh speak about the Ribbono Shel Olam shedding tears. He's crying. Why is he crying? "B'mistarm tivken nafshe." And no one's watching. The Ribbono Shel Olam is crying. "Mipnei gevo." What does the word mean? "Mipnei gevo." The Gemara says, "Mendek avosim shel Yisrael." The Jewish people lost their pride. We used to have an independent Jewish government. Well, you lost it. So you see that there is something to talk about. The Jewish people should have pride over the fact that we have an independent government. And they should act with pride. They shouldn't act as we acted the last 2,000 years when we lived in Golos. That's a hanhaga for a Jew who lives in Chutzlo. The Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael has to act like Goyin Yankiv. Pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu arrives to the city Shechem. Vayichan es pneho ir. How do you translate Vayichan? So the Tanoim have two ways to interpret. One is Vayichan loshen chanoya. He encamped. Vayichan es pneho ir. Another pshat is miloshen chayin. He added chayin he beautified the city. So the Gemara in Bamei Madlikin, Adaf Lamed Gimel, interprets Vayichan miloshen chayin. That Yaakov Avinu was just nitzal from Esav. He was so petrified. He thought he wouldn't survive. And he prepared himself for Doran and Tfilah, Mechama. And then he pulled through. He was nitzal. So he felt he wants to, whenever a person experiences an es, he wants to express his hakaras hatov to the Rebbeinu Shalom, that he should do something for mankind. So what did he do for Vayichan es pneho? What did he add chayin to the city? So the Gemara has three different suggestions. One time in the Gemara, Amaroi, Shmuel. One Amora says in the Gemara that he instituted a coin system. They never had any coins. They used to always do barter. He had to bring 100 behemoths, and he had to bring 100 bushels of grains. And life was very difficult. So he introduced a monetary system to make business easier. He should have instituted a checking system. Would have been even easier yet. Okay, but that far they didn't advance yet. The other suggestion the Gemara gives is that he instituted shopping malls. Instead of going shopping over there for furniture and shopping over here for clothing and shopping over there for food and so on and so forth, and behemoths over there, so they sell everything in the same location. He instituted the shvokim. And then the other suggestion that Gemara gives is that he instituted hygienic tikkunim. He instituted a bathhouse that you have to keep your body clean in order to remain healthy. And the Gemara implies that with the Jews throughout all the years should do this. We're supposed to be engaged in the world and improve society wherever we live. We should all work towards bettering the world. The Jews, as we always point out, the Jews have a much higher percentage of Nobel awards than their percentage in the society. The percentage of Jews in the world population is less than 1%, and the percentage of the Jews getting Nobel awards is higher than 20%. So we have been contributing a lot, like Yaakov Avinu, we have been contributing a lot to Vayichan es kol ha'olam.
Didn't this, the Kirbus cause the Masadina to occur? She became more friendly with the nation?
The Medrash has a different, Rashi quotes a famous Medrash. It says that when Yaakov Avinu was approaching Esau, so it says that Achara saw Yuladov. He had his 11 children. So Rashi made the Medrash famous. Now it's a famous Medrash. In the days of Rashi, wasn't so famous. So Rashi quotes the question, V'dina hechen hoysa. He had 12 children. He had 11 sons and he had a daughter. So Rashi says that he was afraid that Esau would see such a good-looking girl. And then it was a common practice that an uncle would marry a niece. The Gemara talks Shema Yisa Basa Choysa. The Gemara talks a lot about Shema Yichapal Basa Choysa. That was very common, that an uncle would marry a niece. A nephew is not allowed to marry an aunt, but an uncle is permitted to marry a niece. So Rashi quotes the Medrash that Yaakov Avinu was concerned that Esav would see such a nice niece. Dina, he'll want to marry her. So he hit her in a box. So he was punished. Yaakov Avinu was punished for hiding Dina. Yeah, that's what everyone discussed. Why was he punished for hiding Dina? If she would marry Esav, it would be a disaster. Who wants the daughter to marry Esav? The way we depict Esav, he was such a Rasha. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, no, there was a far-out chance that maybe she would be machzehem lemutov. So for the far-out chance that maybe my daughter will have a good ashpah, and Esav, so I should let my daughter marry Esav, but what if it doesn't turn out well? What if Esav will convert her, and she'll become evil, she'll become wicked? How can it be? So it's usually assumed that the pshat is that the Chachamim are complaining about the improper chinuch that Yaakov Avinu gave his daughter. They're saying that he did wrong over here, and that's why he was punished later on at Teitzei Dina Basleya, and she was attacked by Shechem Ben Chamor. That the chinuch has to be an authentic chinuch. Chinuch cannot be based on sheker. Let's say I want my child to be, I'm a Lubavitch, I want my child to be Lubavitch. I tell my child every other form of orthodoxy is apikursis. The only true form of orthodoxy is Lubavitch. Or I'll tell my child every other form, let's say the Satmar Chassid doesn't want his son to be Lubavitch. He says Lubavitch is Avodah Zarah and everything else is Avodah Zarah. The only thing that's authentic is Satmar. So that's not true. That's not true. See, now I'm not to give your child a false chinuch. The chinuch has to be authentic. You're not allowed to exaggerate. When a person exaggerates, it's easier for chinuch purposes if everything is black and white. You tell the child, this is all apikursis, these people are all rishayim, and don't learn anything, don't associate with them at all. Yeah, it's easier to raise a child like that, but not a true chinuch. It's a false chinuch. The halacha requires that chinuch should be aliba de emes. It's more difficult. Everything is going to be has to be nuanced. You have to explain that there are shades of there's black and white and gray, and there are shades of gray and this and that. So it's very complicated, but that's what we're expected to give a proper chinuch. So the Mesillas Yesharim has such a line: a person has to have zehirus. I mean, as zehirus, one aspect of being careful, shaloli he's zoher yosem yidai. Sometimes a person exaggerates and he's overcautious, so that'll cause a negative effect, like over here. Because Yaakov Avinu was overcautious with his daughter, he had to nail a box. He had to put her into a box and nail a box. He should have dressed her up with ugly clothing, tell her not to put on any lipstick, not to be good looking. So Esav will not be interested. Esav is such a big tzaddik, he wants to marry the niece. It was such a big mitzvah to marry a niece. He's going to be moisa nefesh to marry an ugly little girl because it's his niece. If she's not going to good look pretty, so he's not going to marry her. So Yaakov Avinu could have saved her from marrying Esav without nailing the box clothes. He went a little bit too far. He had exaggerated a little bit too much. So that's important in chinuch of children. You can't close off the children from the outside world. That's impossible. As soon as they're going to be exposed to the outside world, so they're going to give up the whole religion. They're going to say, everything my parents taught me is sheker. Here, they have wonderful things in the outside world. What do they tell me? The college is all stupid and there's nothing. The Umasoilim have nothing intelligent. What do you mean? Of course they have Chachma. Chachma Bagayim Tame. You can't educate your children like that. You have to tell them there is Chachma Bagayim. The Torah Bagayim is that there isn't. We have Torah and they don't have Torah. Person has to be careful. It's very difficult. Chinuch HaBonim is very difficult. So this is the interpretation that the Gemara has. Vayicham eloshen chayin, that he added chayin to the city. That's what they say from the Bali Musa. He banged the nail with a little too much joy. He was getting even with his brother Esav. So when he was banging the nails, he banged it a little too hard with a little too much gishmak. That's on Musa Dikavart. Yeah. Yeah. The Medrash has a different understanding of Ayichan, that is Miloshan Chanoya, the Poshim Shad Chanoya. And the Medrash says that he arrived in Shechem on Erev Shabbos and he was Kaveh Atchum Shabbos. he observed Shabbos and he was gaber. He ascertained exactly where the Trum Shabbos is. So the Meshech Chochmah has an interesting comment on this. He thinks that it means something more than simply to be gaber Trum Shabbos. He says, we have later on in the Chumash, says that Yaakov Avinu lived Be'eretz Meguri Ovid Be'eretz Kinoan. So the Medrash has an interpretation. Be'eretz Meguri Ovid, simple pshat is that that's where the Ovis were gar, that's where they dwelt, that's where they lived. Medrash has a Loshim Iloshim Geirus, that Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov were all Megayer. Avram Megayer is Anoshim, Mesorah Megayer is Anoshim. They were all engaged in outreach activity with the nations of the world to try to be Megayer them, until it reached a certain point that Yaakov Avinu stopped. So that's how the Meshech Chochmah thinks that maybe this is what the Medrash is driving at. When Yaakov comes back to Eretz Yisrael, Vayichanas Pnehu Yishakova Trum Shabbos, that Trum Shabbos means Al Yetzi Yish Memkomo Vayom HaShabbos. From now on, the Jewish people are commanded to serve as an Or LaGoyim, a light unto the nations. We're supposed to have Ashpa on them. So until Yaakov Avinu had all the Shvatim born, so the way to serve as an Or LaGoyim was by doing proactively outreach activities. Avram and Sora and Nefesh Hashavasa Bechoron, Yitzhak and originally Yankel, they were Megayer, the people. And after all the Shvatim were born, so now the form of serving as an Or LaGoyim is simply going to be the Jewish people should mind their own business and lead a nice life, and we should try to be decent as best as we can. We should try to conduct our lives in a proper fashion. We should serve as a dugmat for the nation, not by doing proactive outreach. B'shev al tasa, we should mind our own business. So that's what the Meshech Chochmah understands. V'yichanes p'nehi reim loshen chanoya shekova lo tchum Shabbos. He said, he's not going to go chutz l'mkomo. The Jewish people are going to stay to themselves and we'll have a hashpah indirectly on the nations of the world. That's why today we don't. The Orthodox are not interested in converting the whole world. We don't invite the non-Jews to come daven our synagogues. They told me there's some rabbi opening up a shul now in New Jersey. So he's advertising that the davening is too long, so he's going to abridge the davening. And he's inviting the non-Jews to come also to his shul. We never did that. The Beis HaMikdash, they keep Beis HaMikdash, they keep Beis HaMikdash, they keep. That's when the Beis HaMikdash is Bibinyana, everything is B'Tefartoi. And if the non-Jews can come, so they'll be mushpa by the Jews. But to have a shul, that melchatchili, you're opening up the shul for the non-Jews to come also, we never did that. We're not interested in proactively converting the non-Jews or having hashpa on them. We have a hashpa b'shev altas. We try to mind our own business. Some of the sociologists have published an idea that money is an evil of society, that the world would have been a better place to live in if there wouldn't be any money. Everything would be barter. You would barter. So, when there's money in the checking system, that's how Wall Street starts to, that's how people cheat everybody else in business. So the Chazon Ish points out that this is not the Jewish position. We hold that money is, there are mitzvahs in the Torah that can only be fulfilled with kesef. There's a principle of kesef and Avshava Kesef. Aisha Miskadesh is Bekesef and Avshava Kesef. And Kol HaTarkula, the din is that Shava Kesef is Dina Kekesef, except for three mitzvahs. There are three cases where we need Dafke Kesef. So for Machtzas HaShekel, the Gemara says in Chorus that you need Dafke Kesef. You're not yet to Machtzas HaShekel with Shava Kesef. If it's Pidi Maisa Sheni, also you need Dafke Tzata Kesef. Yadech has to be Kesef Sheesh Olav Tzura. Shoveh Kesef is not accepted. You cannot be paid a Maisa Sheni on that the Revai on a Shoveh Prut on Shoveh Kesef. You have to be paid on to Kesef. So the Chazon Ish writes a Dover Poshut that if you have a mitzvah in the Torah that can only be fulfilled Dafke with Kesef, so obviously in a perfect society you have to have an institution of Kesef, of money, of cash. If you only have barter, there's no institution of Kesef, so the world is incomplete because you can't fulfill all the mitzvahs HaTorah. You just have to control the money. You have to control the Wall Street to see to it that it doesn't get out of hand. But money is not an evil of the society. It's supposed to be money in the perfect world. In the ideal world, it's supposed to be money. Then the Torah tells a story about Vayanu b'nei Yaakov v'shchem b'mirmo. They tricked them into being mal, and then they killed out the whole city. Are you allowed to do that? So obviously, yes. All's fair in war. And about love, all's fair in war. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva whether all is fair in love. There's a din of ani hamahapech b'charora. If one fellow is negotiating to buy something, and then I come in and I chapais, and I buy it. Or one merchant is negotiating to sell something to this merchandise to this person, and he finally fixed the price and so on. They're about to clinch the deal. Then another fellow comes in, he's going to sell him the same thing for half a penny less, and he's going to get all of the business. So the Gemara says that's an avera. Ani hamahapech b'charora. They're about to clinch a deal. The other fellow comes in, so it's not right. It's considered, in a certain sense, in an ethical sense, it's considered geneva. It's not outright geneva, it's considered geneva. So there's a machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos there. What if it's a dovshel hefker? Someone is about to pick up a dovshel hefker, which is worth a fortune of money, and they can't find the dovshel hefker somewhere else. If I'm selling merchandise, so why should I sell merchandise to this person that the other merchant is about to clinch a deal? I can go and sell the merchandise to other people. But a dovshel hefker, he won't be able to find anywhere else. The Tosfos says, if it's a dovshel hefker, then there's no iser of ani hamahapech b'charora. If the first person is about making hachonis, he's walking, running towards the dovshel hefker to pick it up and to be kainet, and another person runs faster, and he chapsois, the Tosfos says that's mutter. They don't think that there's an iser of ani hamahapech b'charora by hefker. And Rashi says not so. So in Shulchan Aruch they paskin like Tosfos that by ani hamahapech b'charora does not apply to a dovshel hefker. But someone asked Rav Moshe Feinstein such a shaila. Someone is about to get engaged to a girl, and I'm crazy about that girl. I think that there's only one girl in the whole wide world like this girl. So I won't find another girl like this anywhere else. Gevaldige girl. So is it prohibited according to what it says in Shulchan Aruch that ani hamahapech b'charora doesn't apply to a dovshel hefker because you can't find it somewhere else? So maybe it should be mutta for me to chapay. So Moshe says mikra din probably mutta. He wouldn't recommend it though. He thinks to start off your marriage based on a psak that would make a lactosis against Rashi, he doesn't think that's right. You should be choshish for Rashi not to start off your marriage like that. So we don't assume that all is fair in love and war. All is fair in war. When you wage a war, you have to fight. You have to kill people. That's the way you win the war. What right did they have to kill the whole city Shechem? That's the Shaila. Why did they kill the whole city Shechem? So this is a famous machlek, is the Rambam and the Ramban. Ramban on this week's parsha quotes the Rambam and disagrees with him. The Rambam says that all of the people in the city Shechem were in violation of dinim. One of the Shevet mitzvahs ben enoch is dinim. And dinim requires that the Umas Olam should establish bati dinim to punish people who sin. So all the people in the community were aware of the fact that Shechem ben Hamor had raped Dina. And no one did anything about it. They accepted it. Everyone was going along. So the Rambam says, because they didn't do anything about it, they were supposed to establish but the Dina and see to it that the Beis Din punishes the Avayanim. And they were letting him get away with this. It didn't look like anything was going to change in the future either. So that's why they all deserved the death penalty, because Azarasim Zulim Misosim. When the Bnei Noach violate any one of the Shevet Mitzvahs, they deserve the death penalty. Saif. The Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. He says they deserve death penalty if they violate an Avera, Delit, Evim, and Achai. They'll violate Gezel. They'll violate Arayis. They'll violate Birchas Hashem, Avodah Zarah. But here they didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Dinim. They didn't violate the Kumbi Asay. They didn't do the mitzvah. They were Shevi Al Taseh, they didn't do the mitzvah of Dinim. So the Ramban disagrees in principle with the Rambam. The Rambam is consistent though, the Rambam understands. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, in the Sugya of Bnei Noach, where the Gemara talks about all the mitzvahs that Bnei Noach are obligated to observe. So the Gemara talks about the fact that Avraham Avinu was Mal, not only Yishmoel, as it says in Chumash, and not only Yitzchok, he was also Mal B'nei Keturah. So Rashi and the Gemara seems to learn B'nei Keturah, the six children that Keturah gave birth to, those B'nei Keturah. But the descendants of Keturah, generation after generation, Mizman Azeh, They're not Jewish, and their father is not Avraham Avinu, so there's no obligation for the Arabs to be mal today. And the Rambam writes not so. The Rambam writes that all of those Arabs today who are descendants of the Bnei Keturah are all mechuyev to observe mitzvahs milah. Shagazayir writes, he finds that Rambam hard to understand. How can it be such a thing that some of the Bnei Noach are mechuyev to observe more than seven mitzvahs, to have a mitzvah to observe the mitzvah of milah? He doesn't understand. He thinks that the more correct pshat and the Gemara is like Rashi. But that's what the Rambam learns, that Bnei Keturah bismanazach hayovim to observe milah. Who knows, which Arab knows whether he's a descendant from Bnei Keturah or not? So the Rambam says it's a big taruvis today. Nobody knows who's who. So therefore, all of the Arabs are mechuyev to observe milah. Maybe they are the descendants of Bnei Keturah. And what if an Arab doesn't want to observe the mitzvah of milah? So does he deserve the death penalty? So the Rambam says, well, we're not so sure that he's one of the Bnei Keturah. So you don't give misa misafek. What if he would have known that he is from the Bnei Keturah? Then the Rambam assumes there would be an oinish misa. So this is the Rambam l'shitasa, that he holds that the Bnei Noach deserve the oinish of misa, even for not fulfilling a mitzvah saseh. Not only if they violate Avodah Zarah, they violate an Aver of Gezel, they violate the Birchas Hashem or Arayis, even if they don't fulfill a mitzvah of Milah, also they deserve an Oynish Misa. Bizmanazeh, they're all Nisarvu, so everything is only Mitam Sofik. And the Ramban disagrees with the whole thing. Ramban says, where do you find Azarasim Zui Misosam? Azarasim means if they violate an Aver, not if they don't fulfill a mitzvah that's Mutal on them. So why did the Bnei Yankiv have the right to kill out the whole city Shechem? So the Ramban says, no, they all knew. It was known that they were all up there by the Zohar. They violated all of it. They ate Ev Menachai. It was known that they violated some or all of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'Nenech. That's why they deserved the Einish Mitzvah. Not because they didn't fulfill the Mitzvah of Dinim. It has nothing to do with Dinim. That's the Ramban on this week's, on the Parsha, has that dispute. What are there did Shechem do? A ben noach is chai misa for gezel pachas mishover puto. So to rape a woman is certainly worse than gezel pachas mishover puto. To attack a person, that's for sure worse than gezel. There's choyvel and there's mazik and there's gazlon. So choyvel is worse. Choyvel is worse. That's for sure chai. The question is, the Gemara says a ben noach nerag al ha'ubrin. If a ben noach performs an abortion, he's chai misa. Is that necessarily because it's an act of Ritzicha? Or is it, maybe it's not an act of Ritzicha. Maybe it's only an act of Chavola, but a Benoich is Chai Misa for Gezel, Pachem, Shavar, Puto. So of course it's Chai Misa for an abortion. It's not so clear.
According to the Ramban's Pshat, so why they only wait till Shechem started off with Dina to kill them? If they were all over on Shechem Mitzvah Benoich, they should have done it.
Mm-hmm. Good question. I don't know. Look, you're not mechuyev to do all the mitzvahs all the time. It was Yaakov Avinu was upset that his children. He wasn't upset that they did something unethical. He was upset. He said, now is not the time to run to do this mitzvah to kill out the whole city Shechem. All the Romans are going to kill us. So the pasuk continues, "Vayisol, vayichita selakim al ha'orim asher sviva sein, v'lo yirot v'achar b'nei Yisrael." But derech ha'teva, they would have wiped out all the Jews. All the United Nations would have killed the Jews at that time. It was a nest that they didn't start up with them. Vayichita selakim al ha'orim asher sviva sein. So Yaakov Avinu was not upset with what they did on moral basis. It was just on practical basis. He said, "Now is not the time to go fulfill the mitzvah of giving Einish Misa to the goyim who violate the Sheva Mitzvahs, whichever mitzvah that you're killing them for."
Later on, Yaakov gives it to the bracha. He says, you know, so it seems like he's okay, he conquered Shechem. He's saying, oh, Yossi, you're going to get the extra. Usually it seems like it's okay that Shevi, right? Isn't that? Than that, what if Shimon and Levi did over here? Yaakov is giving Yosef an extra machane of Shechem. It seems like he's okay with what happened.
Yeah, he was okay with what happened. He was just upset that now is not the time. Yeah, that's what it says in the Chumash. That is correct. And the pasuk says, as they're traveling back to Eretz Yisrael, Thomas Devora Meinekes Rivka. Who in the world was this Meinekes Rivka? What is that all about? So I think the Ramban has the comment based on a medrash that how did it happen? How did it come about that Rivka was a monotheist? She was brought up among of the Avodah Zarah. So the medrash has it that this individual Devora Meinekes Rivka, she was the babysitter. She was taking care of Rivka when she was a little baby. So she was a monotheist, and she was the one who taught her all of the proper values that she had. So the Chumash says that when she passed away, so Vayikrishma Alom Bachus, Yankov Avinu recognized the fact that this woman was a big hero. She was the one who trained his mother, Rivka, in monotheism. So he observed a little bit of Avelus when this tzaddik has passed away. Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Don't some say that was Rivka? Doesn't Ramban also say that it might have been Rivka herself?
Who Dvara Meinekes Rivka? Is it the same person? I don't think so. Sounds like it's another person. Then the pasuk continues that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a blessing to Yankiv. He was going to pray Urevei. He doesn't tell him Pru Urevu, he only says in the singular pray Urevei, because the women are not Mukhivim Pirivirivya. Machloik is Satanaim in the end of Perak Abo Yelimto, so we assume that it's said in the singular only the men are Mukhiv. Yankiv Avinu is Mukhiv, his wives are not Mukhiv. And then he says, you're going to have more children, Yaakov Avinu, Goya Kalkoimi Yemimeko. Who did he have afterwards? Binyamin was born afterwards. So that's what the Gemara says. Binyamin is called a Goy. He already had all the 11 Shvatim were born before, because Binyamin was going to be born afterwards, so that's called Goy. That's what we spoke about last week, that the whole Parshas Vayetze, the whole theme of the Parshas Vayetze is all about the Yud Bei Shvatim. That's the definition of Klal Yisrael, is the Yud Bei Shvatim. So each Shevet, Shevet Echer Ekri Kohol, Shevet Binyamin is going to be born, so that's called Goy or Kal Goyim. One Shevet is called Goy. So the Ravid has in his commentary on the Torah's Kohanim, on the Sifra, a comment that there is a Gemara in Yesh Nechlin, where the Gemara has an expression, Gemiri, we have a tradition, the Lord called a Shifta in Israel. The Gemara there is talking about when someone dies, so his sons get the Yerusha, he has no sons, so the daughters get. He has no daughters, so the brothers get. He has no brothers, so the brothers' children get, and the sisters get. Oh, you keep on going back. Uncles get all the way back, then it says, and if not, it goes back to Asher, if he's from Shevet Asher, and then we divide it among the whole Shevet Asher. So the Gemara says, what about if the whole Shevet Asher is wiped out? So the Gemara, that's impossible. Gemiri, you have a tradition, it's never going to happen. The Lord called the shift in me, so it's impossible. What is that tradition based on? So the Ravid claims in his Bira on the Torah's Kohanim that based on this pasuk that Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol, and the Novi promised Bnei Yisrael, it's in Malachi, Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I never change. Change is only in the Bria. The world that he created keeps on changing all the time, but the Rabban Shalom, the Creator, never changes. V'atem b'nei Yankiv Lo Chilisim, and the Jewish people will never be wiped out. So that Haftocha, B'nei Yankiv Lo Chilisim, applies to the Klal Yisrael and to each one of the units of Klal Yisrael. The Yud Bei Shvatim, each one is called Shevet Echad Ikri Kol. Goyu Kal Goyim Emeko goes on Binyamin. So because each Shevet is Ikri Kol, so that's how we have this tradition that Gemiri Delo Kol Shift in Yisrael. No Shevet will ever be wiped out. We don't know who belongs to which Shevet. But the Pasuk says, V'yosha Metzarif and Metayr. Eliyahu Navi will come before Mashiach, and Eliyahu Navi will say B'nevuah, he will ascertain who belongs to which Shevet. So then the pasuk continues to say that Rachel passed away, and she was buried on the highway, B'derech Afros, the Hibes Lechem, and Yankov Avinu put up a matzeva. What's the idea of putting up a matzeva? So Shulchan Aruch, it's assumed that it's out of Kovod HaMeis. The Baal is Mechuyev B'Kfuras Ishtoi. The Baal is Mechuyev to be Mechabed his wife even after she dies. He has to put a Matzeva on the Kever. What's the purpose of a Matzeva in general? So in Shulchan Aruch they quote there are different minhagim and chutzlar is a different minhagim where they put the matzeva before the end of the Yud Beis Chodesh or right after the Yud Beis Chodesh Arav. So some say because a mace is mishtakech min alev lach a Yud Beis Chodesh. Usually you forget about someone after a year goes up. So some have the minhag, we put up a matzeva to remember him, we shouldn't forget him. So we put up the matzevi before the Yud Beis Chodesh Arav to see to it that we don't forget him. Others have the minig b'davka ferket, after we already forgot him, after the Yud Beis Chodesh Arav, so we put up in the matzeva then. And Eretz Yisrael, they have a different minig, they put up by the shloshim. But in chutz lords, those are the minhagim connected with the Yud Beis Chodesh. Then the Yerushalmi has a comment that ein oisim nefashas letzadikim, when a big tamachachim dies, a tzadik dies, there's no need to make an elaborate matzeva to remember him. Divreim heim heim zichreinim. The Talmid HaChachamim, the tzaddikim will be remembered when people will say over the Divrei Torah. That's when the Gemara has a comment on the pasuk in Tehillim that subsos of Dovos bekever. David HaMelech wishes he should be able to talk and learning even after he dies. How is that possible? So the Gemara says, if people will say over Divrei Torah in the name of David HaMelech after he dies, it'll be subsos of Dovos bekever. So he'll be remembered even after he dies. So you don't need an elaborate matzeva. But normally, under normal circumstances, a matzeva is a chelik of the din, of kavod abrius. The din is this that we mentioned many times, is a din. Kavod abrius is really for living people. We even have to show kavod abrius for the dead people as well. The pasuk in Chumash is lo yitamo. The koyin is mechuyev to be mitame tachos apsula shelohos alish. Lo yitamo is a chayvo. So that is the pasuk, which is mechayvos to observe kavod abrius. It even applies to dead people, but it applies in a more so to living people. Here, the obligation to put a matzeva, that's even though she's dead, they're still obligated to show kavod to his wife. Why did Rachel die? Some kind of a punishment. So the Medrash has one suggestion, and the Ramban has his own suggestion. The Ramban has his famous suggestion. He raises the question, if Kima Rabina Kala Tarukula Shalai Nitno, Samistome, he assumes Samistome, Yitzchak and Yaakov also Kima Satar, even though the Gemara only says it about Avraham Avinu. So how could Yaakov marry Shtei Achoyas if he's observing Kala Tarukula Shalai Nitno? So different suggestions are given. So the Ramban suggestion is famous, that they only volunteered, it only made sense as an enemy to Yosef to volunteer to observe all the mitzvahs atar in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz Lords, it didn't make sense. The Ikam Makam for Shmiras Kol HaMitzvahs is only in Eretz Yisrael. Lo Mimboi, the agricultural mitzvahs, that's only in Eretz Yisrael. But even the other mitzvahs, the Ikam Makam for Shmiras Kol HaMitzvahs Eretz Yisrael. So when the others are volunteering on their own, they only volunteer in Eretz Yisrael. But now Yaakov Avinu is coming back to Eretz Yisrael. So one of his wives has to die, that he shouldn't continue to be good at divorcing one of them. He doesn't say that. He says one of them has to die in order that he shouldn't be living with two sisters. Right. Yeah. Oh, you mean he wouldn't be allowed to remain with Leah? Even though Leah he had married first. Maybe? Okay. Maybe. So that's how the Ramban says that Rachel had to die in order that Yankov shouldn't be in violation of Shtei Achoyos in Eretz Yisrael. It's missing something. No, because of Amidas Chasidus, Rachel should die in order that Yaakov Avinu should be able to volunteer. As an Eidim Mitzvah V'yosis, a person has to drop dead. It's questionable. The Medrash Rabbah has a different explanation, that the Mishlam Melech has a whole Arich HaSan in his Sefer Parashas Drachim, in his Drush Sefer Parashas Drachim. But the Medrash Rabbah says that there is a Gemara in Ksubis and in Masechet Shabbos. If a person pledges to give money to tzedakah and he doesn't keep his pledge, so the wife may die because of that. But based on the pasuk in Kohelas, I think, lama yikach mishkov chami tachtecha. You better keep your pledges or the Rebbe Shalom will take away your wife. So the question is, that's if a person violates the nedarim. What if a person doesn't violate the nedarim, he just violates bal te'acher? He took a neder to bring a carbon, he took a neder to give tzedakah soon, and then he doesn't fulfill the neder till 2 years later. The din of bal te'acher, he's not supposed to wait so long, he's supposed to observe fulfill the neder within a year, before Shalosh Regalim go by. Whichever one comes first, either Shalosh Nedora, either Shalosh Regalim, or Yud Beis Chai, or a year. So the question is, when the Torah has a din of Balti Acher, does that mean that if one is Ma'acher, it's considered as if they violated the neder? So the wife can be held, the wife may die because the husband violates Balti Acher. But they say, no, Balti Acher is a different law, Balti Acher. The neder he does fulfill. If ultimately he pays up the neder, he brings the korban and gives the tzedakah, so it cannot be that the wife will die. So the Gemara says, Beferish. Gemara says, Beferish. That only, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah in the first parak says, Beferish. That Bavon Balti Acher, the wife will not die. And the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvos writes not so. The Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvos writes that one who is in violation of Balti Acher is considered as if he had been mevatel the whole nether. So isn't that exactly what the Gemara says? Not so. Bavon Adorim Ishtu Shalod HaMesa only applies if he doesn't keep the nether at all. But if ultimately he does fulfill a nether, but he violated Balti Acher, how does the Pasuk says? How does the Pasuk say? Vasach l'shalo kim dori ki dori shen shenemen. V'oye b'chochet. That's how the Loshon HaPasuk says there about Tacha. V'oye b'chochet. So the Gemara's Loshon is, v'oye b'chochet v'lo b'ishto chochet. What do you mean v'lo b'ishto chochet? So the Rishonim explained that's what it means. Ishto chochet is, if a person doesn't keep the neder at all, then ishto shalo de mesa. But because of violation of Balti Acher, the ishto will not be mesa. So that's the shalo the Mishnah Melech raises. Why does the Rambam write in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that one who violates Balti Acher is considered as if he violated the whole neder? It's not the same. That's exactly what the Gemara says, B'chochet v'lo b'ishtochochet. So the Mishnah Melech says the mocker of the Rambam apparently is the Medrash Rabbah on this pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov Avinu, you should go back there, it's Yisrael. And fulfill the neder that you promised me. You said you're going to make Beis Elokim. So you didn't keep your promise yet. So because Yaakov Avinu violated Balti Acher, the first couple of years he had no choice. He was hiding from Esau, his pikuach nefesh is doichet. But after a while, there was no longer a suffix sakana. So he should have gone back to Eretz Yisrael and fulfilled the neder. So because he violated Balti Acher, that's why Rachel died. That's when the Mishnah Melech says this medrash seems to be in disagreement with that Gemara in the first parak in Rosh Hashanah, where the Balti Acher means if you wait too long, you're not in fulfillment of the whole neder, or not. The end of the Sedri gives the whole Yichus of Esav, a long, long Arichas. What do we need all this for? What's the significance of knowing all the alufim of Esav? It's a good question. The Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim gives a suggestion, doesn't explain, doesn't give a whole answer. The Rambam writes that we have a din of Mechias Amalek, so we have to know who is Amalek. So the Pasuk has to tell us the genealogy, that this is who Amalek is. So from that Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, it would appear that the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek only applies to those who are biologically descendants of Zera Amalek. This is not like Rav Moshe Soloveitchik had a chiddush based on a Rambam, that the Rambam in Hilchos Melochim writes that we have a din of Achrem Tachrimim, we have a mitzvah to wipe out the Zayin Umis, and he writes it Kvar Obad Zichram, they don't exist anymore. Bosan Chervet Bilbulus Kol Olam Kuloi. So we don't know who the Zayin Umis are, so they no longer have the status of Zayin Umis, so there's no longer a din of Hachrim Tachrimim. Then the Rambam writes a din of Amalek, and he doesn't write Ukvar Rabat Zichram. The Sefer HaChinuch writes like that. Sefer HaChinuch writes that he says, it says in the Rambam that they don't exist anymore. So it really doesn't say that in the Rambam. Rambam only says it on Zayin Umis, he never said it on Amalek. So the Sefer HaChinuch understood who had dinami. It applies, the statement applies to Amalek also. So that's what others find difficult, because the Gemara says, Kiyar al keis kol mocham l'Hashem ba'amalek midor dor, kol zman that Amalek is bo'ilam, ein Hashem sholem, ein ha-kisei sholem. Lo si lovoi, the Shem will be sholem and the kisei will be sholem. So we assume that it's adayim lo higano li dekach. We assume Amalek is still around. We haven't yet fulfilled Mechias Amalek. So how can it be that Kvar Rabat Zichron? Wouldn't appear so. So that's what I, but the boss and Chavit Bilbal is called Adam Kula. We don't know who the Amalekim are. So the Moshe Soloveitchik had a big Kiddush. He suggested that any nation that adopts as its policy that it wants to wipe out the whole Jewish people like the Nazis, they have the din of Amalek. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said over many years ago at the Mizrahi Convention. He used to always speak every year at the Mizrahi Convention. So the issue was at that time whether the Israeli government should accept the reparations money from the German government. So the Knesset was debating it. Maybe it's unethical. We should take reparations money from the Germans as if they'll be forgiven for the sin of killing so many Jews. We have the right to take money to forgive them for killing 6 million Jews. They killed more than many, many more than 6 million Jews. They killed 6 million Jews. They documented. They kept records. They killed 9 million Jews. They killed many, many. And they killed also Goyim. They killed millions of Goyim also. So is that proper that we have, is that ethical? We should take reparations money. Rav Soloveitchik felt it was not proper. Originally he felt it's not right. And then he thought that Al-Pidin, it's not permissible. So he said over this Chiddush that his father had said, that any nation that adopts as its policy to wipe out Klal Yisrael has a din of Amalek. And he said, you're not allowed to take face. So he thought the German, maybe that's only the Nazis, maybe the German government is not the same as the Nazis. He thought the German government has a status like Amalek. He said, and even to take back the money that they stole from us, with all the reparations money, they still didn't give back all the money that they stole. So he thought that even to take back money that they stole from us is also not permissible. So he said they have a din of Amalek. So one of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Nochem Rabinowitz, published a whole sefer about the Hilchas Melchama. So he quotes this from Rav Soloveitchik, and then he says he wasn't there when he said it. It cannot be. It must have been Adrosha. It cannot be that he meant that Halacha L'maisa. How can it be? That's not so. At the time that Rav Soloveitchik said it, he said it as a Halacha. Could be that later on he backed up, but that's when he said it in public, and he published it, one of the drushes, one of the Chamesh drushot that it printed, so he referred back to this. They didn't print that whole drusha, he referred back to his position, that it wasn't right on both accounts, both Al-Pidin, it's you're not allowed to take from Amalek anything, and ethically it was improper, to give them the impression as if the criminal activities would be forgiven. Rashi in his commentary on Chumash points out.
Yes. What about, not the Iranian people, but the Iranian government? Their stated goal is to wipe out Israel.
Yeah.
Could you extend?
It has to be an atheistic. The Nazis, I think, were atheists. The pasuk says, "By Amalek v'lo yare Elokim." They didn't believe in God. The Christian Church also tried to kill the Jews, but they were religious. They waged the religious war. One of the conditions of Amalek has to be that they don't believe in God. V'lo yare Elokim. Does he worship any religion? The head of Iran. He is religious. So he's lucky. So according to Rabbi Soloveitchik, you won't have the din of Amalek. No. You should have a Misa Mishun anyway. Rashi in his commentary on the Parsha quotes the concluding pasuk from the Haftarah in Ovadia, V'olam Moshim Ha'atzim L'shpoitus HaReisav V'olishal Hashem Amlucha, that when Yaakov Avinu tells Esav, we'll meet up with you. He can't go now, he has young children, it's too difficult. Arasha Oval Adonai Seira, we'll meet up later. So he's referring to Losi Lava, that we're not really interested in meeting up with Esav in the near future. We're only interested after Mashiach will come. We'll deal with the Catholic Church, which represents Esav. But right now we're not interested. Okay, so again, this coming Sunday I will be out of town in the morning. Then, believe that, I will attend Achasen in the afternoon. I'm sure some of you will be attending Achasen also. Then at night I'll be going to Eretz Yisrael for a week, and I'll be back the Monday morning after. Okay.
Is anyone interested in having Mincha now?
Not too early?
No.